Well, as you know, there has been considerable controversy in recent times about the cost of major national projects and about the length of time it takes to complete them. Just yesterday, we heard that the completion date for the new children's hospital has been pushed back again. Well, it's 20 years since a significant extension of Dublin's rail service was first announced. In that time, governments, deadlines, budgets and likely routes have come and gone. The proposed line, now called Metrolink, will run from Swords in the north to Charlemont in the south, much of it underground. There will be stops at Dublin Airport, Dublin City University and the Mater Hospital. Sean Sweeney is the programme director of Metrolink and he's with us in studio. Good afternoon and thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon.
There have been quite a few false dawns with this project. As of now, what's its status?
At the moment, we are a long way through the consenting process. We've done all our work. We've completed all our submissions and all our consultations. We've been told by the board that they are looking for nothing more from us, and it is now with them to deliberate. So we are hoping for a response in the next few months, but we don't control their timeframe. So in the next few months, we're hoping for a response from them.
And that response is from who on board Planola?
On board Planola, yeah.
How far away from are you then, ideally, from the beginning of construction work?
So the clock starts when we get our railway order, and it's not just the board advising that they've granted it. There's then, I understand, an 8-week stand-down period to see whether anyone wants to seek a judicial review. If there were no judicial reviews granted, we then get an enforceable railway order, and then we can start the process of tendering. We can start our procurement processes, which take a while, particularly in the EU. But we would start those processes. If you took a view that we had an enforceable railway order by October, we would start our procurement processes shortly after, and we'd be looking to go to the market for our major contracts early next year. Those processes would take, some of them will take over a year, and then so that you're then into early 27. And even though you might reach a contract with a major constructor, jobs this size, they don't just turn up the next day and start working. There's usually a minimum of a 6-month mobilisation period for them. So at the moment, if you took a view that we would get a railway order late this year, our plan would be for works to be starting late 27.
You previously worked on major projects in Australia and New Zealand. From your experience here so far, how does Ireland differ from those countries?
So I've been here 8 months, so it's always a bit dangerous to make sort of sweeping observations.
But from your early impressions then?
Australia is a very... It views itself, I think, as a young country. It's a wealthy country, and the governments there, by and large, view that they need to be treated on their ability to build infrastructure. So that's what they aggressively do. The state I lived in for 20 years, and they're always building. They've been building for quite a while, and they've got the state, Victoria, that I lived in, has about $100 billion plus program they call the Big Build. Sydney has something a similar size. Queensland, something just a little bit smaller. So those states are real sort of go, go, go states. And everything inside the government is set up to be servicing that.
Do I get the impression then that you're saying that isn't always the case in Ireland?
Well, it wasn't in New Zealand. When I went back, New Zealand hadn't basically built anything for 20 years. And so the expertise had all left the country in New Zealand. So we had problems getting pretty well everything up and running. So you're starting from a standing start. So everything, if you're not doing this regularly, everything is harder to do.
And we're not doing it regularly.
That's my understanding. Well, there was a big drop up after the GFC, certainly that. And now, as I read, Ireland has quite ambitious plans, not only rail, water, power, pretty well across the And rail, surface rail as well.
Yeah. Does the government need to do more then to champion Metrolink?
Well, I'm pushing the program. I've talked to the Taoiseach, I've talked to the Tarnister, I've talked to my minister. They know my views, they understand them. They've said that they support the project. And I think we just need to sort of get on. But we are waiting for this railway order.
A document prepared for the Transport Minister, Darragh O'Brien, widely reported a few weeks ago, put the possible cost at €23.4 billion. Could it be as high as that?
So that number's out of date. That's a 2021 number. But what that number is, I understand, that is what's called a P95. And so that was, I think at the time, Metrolink business case was approved. Now, the range of costs for Metrolink when its business case was approved in 2021 was between 7 point something billion and 12 point something billion. That was the expected range.
Right, and where then does the 23.4 billion come from? Because obviously there's an enormous difference between all of these sums.
Because that team, I understand, were asked to provide what's called a P95 number, which is a number that has a 95% probability of not being exceeded.
Right, so that's the absolute worst case scenario.
That's probably reasonable English. The P95 is the worst contemplatable scenario. That was on the 2021 numbers, but that is not the number that at that time the team said Metrolink was going to be built for. That was between the 7 and the 12. That 23 is the P95, the worst case scenario.
Okay, but if the figure, the kind of middle figure that they were quoting back in 2021 was 9.5 billion, and I'm aware at this stage people are probably bamboozled by all the numbers. If the figure then was 9.5 billion, presumably given the inflation we've seen since then, it would be considerably higher now.
There's been more than 20% construction inflation since that number, more than. And the numbers going forward, we've been asked to add on VAT, which is just a transfer. That's not an extra cost, but it's a transfer. So we're in the process of updating those numbers now. We also have much more developed designs. So we're in the process of giving the government an updated estimate.
All right, just finally, the project was due to be finished by 2035. Is that now feasible?
I'd prefer to answer that when we get our railway order, because every month that we have to wait, it slips out. We're targeting sometime in the mid-2030s, but we just need to see what happens with the railway order before we put... Once we get the railway order and have let our contracts... In my view, professionally, that's the first time you can give the government and people certainty, because you then have construction contracts from people, and those contracts are saying, we will build this for you to a date and to a cost. Before then, it's just estimates. And that's what we're living with at the moment, is just estimates.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the News at One this afternoon. That was Sean Sweeney of Metrolink.